This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
What's up, peeps? Oh, as if my phone just went off in that exact moment. Let me turn that on to silent. What's up, peeps? Welcome back to Rebound and Safety. This week, I'm going to be reflecting on my chat with the legendary Rosa Carrillo. Let's jump into the introduction, and then we'll get right into it.
Problem in safety isn't deviation, it's complexity.
Health and safety has gone mad.
Health and safety is trying to unpick having gone mad in the past.
There's no one solution or one problem. The problem is that we are looking for one solution.
Does the structure of the team allow them to flourish?
Feel safe enough to be uncomfortable.
The environment defines our behaviours.
People aren't the problem, they're the solution.
Rebranding safety, crushing a stereotype. Brought to you by RiskBlue.
What's up, peeps? Welcome back to Rebranding Safety. Rebranding Safety is the YouTube channel and podcast doing exactly what it says on the tin. We're here to change the perception of health and safety. We do that right here on the podcast. We do that on YouTube as well. So if you're new here, hit those subscribe buttons and all of that malarkey so that they can do crazy algorithms, thingy-majiggies, magical things that they do, and get me in the ear holes of all the other lovely people out there that are missing out on the pleasure that is my voice. Don't you agree? Anyway, do you not think this music sounds like the start of like a Guy Ritchie film? Look, here, listen to this. Imagine Charlie Hunnam walking into a pub. Wait, see you, you beep. Do you know what I mean? Like proper Cockney, like The Gentleman. You ever seen that film? It's a great film. Or Snatch. It'd be like, this is James. James has been working in London for 50 years. Anyway, let me get on top of this. Right, my chat with Rosa. How did you enjoy it? I hope you liked it. I quite enjoyed it. Firstly, first note I've got on here, what a lovely lady Rosa is. An absolute pleasure to have a discussion with. A pleasure to interview. Lovely, lovely lady. Very big name in the industry. Somewhat of a mini celebrity, really, in our profession. And still, very nice, lovely lady to talk to. So that was nice. Hopefully you noticed that the audio was a bit better and we've been having a little bit of problems. And actually, the problems have been really old problems. So because a lot of the interviews that we had for the Safety 1 and Safety 2 mini-series and all the other stuff were recorded so long ago, we were still in that period as when I was transitioning from office to new office. So basically spare bedroom 1 to spare bedroom 2. And yeah, it was just something, I'd knocked something off and I couldn't work out what it was, and it sounded all right to me when I'm doing it, and then when it came into post edit it was just all over the place and I'm just like, oh, what a nightmare. So, and you know, short of re-recording the whole thing again, which I wasn't going to do, there was nothing I could do about it. So unfortunately you just had to suck it up, and I apologize for that. But hey, perfection is the enemy of progress. So I'm going to, as per usual, I'm going to whiz through some of my notes from my chat with the amazing Rosa. So let's crack on with the reflection. So first note I've got here is when I asked Rosa to kind of list off the soft skills, she actually only gave us two, which is really interesting. For her, you know, kind of mindful listening, or like active listening, or whatever you wanted to call it, but you know, like proper listening, like you're actually present with the person, and empathy, which ultimately is all she thinks that we need as a profession, in from the soft skills side anyway. And I was just a bit taken aback really by the fact that it was just those two that she kind of picked out. For me it was like, it kind of showed how important they were. It really showed us how vital those two things are, that actually out of all the things that she could have picked out, she just said, actually, you just need to be a good listener and be empathetic, which I love. I love that. I absolutely love that. And for so long, so many times I hear so many people talk about, oh, you got to build relationships. And I say that all the time. We've got to build relationships. And the two fundamentals of building relationships, listening to them, like presently listening, like actively listening to them, and understanding their challenges, where they are, walk a mile in their shoes, be empathetic. So I just thought that was just beautiful that she kind of picked those two out. And absolutely, for me, it just kind of, it was like, yeah, 100% agree. It was absolutely spot on. What do you think? Like, let me know we can't put comments because this is a podcast, but let me know on LinkedIn. Come and DM me and let me know, do you think there's more? I mentioned it in the chat with Rosa, actually, but I can't remember for the life of me who I was talking to, but somebody mentioned that they actually think that conflict resolution was one of the most important soft skills that we have. And I put that to Rosa, and her point was, well, if you don't have good listening skills and good empathy, then, well, you're probably, you know, that's probably why you're in that conflict situation, maybe. I don't know. Sometimes we kind of, no matter how much we listen, how empathetic we are, we always end up in a conflict. You know, this stuff's really easy to talk about, really easy to say, oh, be empathetic. But actually, in the moment, it's really, really difficult. And in next week's episode, I'm going to kind of go more deep into that and talk about how I've dealt with my stories of dealing with really difficult people and difficult situations, and how we kind of do it, and what I've learned from essentially my failures over the years. So essentially, we're talking about is relationships, but you know what was really interesting is how many times the word trust came up, and I hear this a lot. So Clive Lloyd, who's just wrote the book Next Generation Safety Leadership, he talks about trust a lot, and actually says if you don't have trust, then everything else will fail. Like, trust is the foundations of what we need. And that's essentially what we're trying to do and trying to build in these relationships, by listening and by being empathetic, is building trust in relationships. And I have actually got an interview with Clive coming up, but it was quite safety too. So I kind of paused it and held it back. So I'm going to give it like a, probably next month we might put that out. We'll wait and see. But yeah, I've got that sitting in the sidelines waiting to come on. So is it that without relationships and trust, everything is kind of wasted, everything is pointless? Because maybe that's how we kind of talk about it, isn't it? Is that without relationships and without trust, without empathy, without listening, there's just no point in doing anything. But actually, I think it is a fact that we can do a reasonable amount of work, because I look at all the places that I've worked at, and damn, there was no trust, there was no empathy, there's no listening, there's no relationships whatsoever. But they're pretty good businesses, they made good money, and we survived through the day and we got through. So I actually think that when we talk about these and we say, like, if you don't have these, then you're not going to have anything else, I think that's not true. I think for me, it's if you don't have these, you're not unleashing the true potential of your business and your people and, well, just, yeah, your business, your organization, because there's just so much potential there that you can unleash, but you can't because you don't have the relationships that you need. I think, anyway. So I think that we should probably talk about them from a point of view of they're the key to the future, the next step, so to speak. There was an interesting point in the conversation with Rosa, in that I don't think I agreed with Rosa, and I still don't think I agree with Rosa, in that Rosa's point around kind of not having credibility in an industry that you haven't worked there, that you basically, you need to know the industry. And this kind of came from a point of me challenging, do we need those technical skills? And I'm still, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you have no knowledge of like a risk assessment or anything like that, but really, like, what is a risk assessment? Like, really, what is a risk assessment? We can all assess risk. We all do it all the time. How many of you safety professionals listen to this podcast, go on training sessions, and you're like, what's a risk assessment, really? You cross the road, you're doing a risk assessment. We kind of say that a risk assessment is something we do all the time. It's something that we do every single day. So if that's the case, then is it a technical skill? Now, if we're talking kind of quantitative risk assessments, like in a kind of high-risk chemical sector and safety engineering and stuff, then 100%, that is a skill. That's a technical skill, 100%. But is doing a kind of qualitative risk assessment a skill? Is it a technical skill? I'm not really sure. I actually think that the skills that we use to do an effective risk assessment, a good risk assessment, are actually the things that we call soft skills. I don't think they're technical in any way, shape or form. So what is a technical skill in safety then? The understanding the difference between a fixed guard and an interlocking guard? Understanding the hierarchy of controls? Is it understanding Health and Safety at Work Act? Is it understanding how the difference between criminal and civil law? What is it? What are these technical skills that everyone feels a need to caveat themselves when they say, you know, they spend a whole panel discussion talking about soft skills, but then just go at the end of it and say, well, obviously you still need to get your knee bosh. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, do you? Like, really? I do think you're in a safety department. I do think you need an understanding of the criminal and civil law. I do think you need to understand probably some of the more higher risk stuff. And maybe it is beneficial to understand the kind of technical side of some of the risks and hazards that we deal with. So, for example, in the NCRQ diploma that I did, they went quite in-depth with, well, I remember they went really in-depth with chemical, which I thought was a bit much, but they went quite in-depth with, like, slips and trips and how a slip, like the mechanics of a slip, which I thought was interesting. But I was ultimately, like, at the end of it, I was ultimately like, does that help me do my job? And I'm still not sure. Like, I'm on the fence with this, guys. Like, I'm really on the fence. Like, I'm really not sure. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, you do. And then sometimes I'm like, really? Like, what do I... If I have to understand, like, something technical, I'm just going to get the ACOP or I'm going to Google it. So do we? Do we really need these diplomas, these qualifications? Or do we need something that's a bit more focusing on those so-called soft skills, the psychological side of it, the social side of it? It's really hard. It's really, I do think understanding law helps. I do. I genuinely think that understanding the law helps. Understanding how to read and find legislation and how it works and that. But I don't think actually, I don't remember Niebosch ever telling me how to actually read legislation, because it's not like reading, picking up a novel and just going, oh yeah, I get this. Yeah, it's like fucking numbers and paragraphs and subparagraphs and reg this and reg that. And then you get amendments and then you click on the website and you're like, well, that's only showing me the amendments. So how far do I go back? Like stuff like that, you just kind of pick up over the years. But actually, I think that's the stuff that really helps. So I keep coming back to it. What are the technical skills? So one might go, well, okay, understanding electrical safety, understanding safety welding, understanding confined space, understanding work at height. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, fair point. But if the person doing the job is the one at risk, then surely they should be the ones that actually understand that risk more than us. Should. I'm not talking about where we are now. I'm talking about should. This is kind of like a hypothetical, perfect safety world I'm talking of here. So bear with me. Why is it? I trained as an electrician first year, mid-recession, didn't get the apprentice job for the next year, unfortunately. Hashtag recession. And I don't remember anyone ever talking about lockout, tagout. I vaguely remember talking about tests for dead and things like that. But these are kind of safety critical. I mean, you talk to Louise Taggart, you know, her horrifying story of her brother. You know, this is a safety critical thing. And yet, I don't really remember lockout tagout being touched on at college. I actually remember being at work and talking about lockout tagout for the first time and being like, oh, that's really interesting. Okay, yeah, I get that. That works. And I remember having to tell people that are doing the engineering work about lockout tagout and how we're going to do it. And they were kind of like, okay, I've never really heard of lockout tagout. We kind of do that like this, but we could do it better there and stuff like that. So they kind of already did this stuff, but didn't really know what lockout tagout was. Now, maybe some of you listening to this would be like, well, you had some bad engineers. I'm not sure. I don't think we did. I thought they were good lads, but I just think back to it. I think we've got this all wrong. Like, I genuinely do think we've got this all wrong. I think that the safety, I know I did on the video where I broke safety down into kind of three different career specialisms. And I still stand by that to a point in that I think that the generalism side of it is doomed to fail. I kind of do think that. The title is maybe doomed to fail is a bit provocative, maybe. But shouldn't those generalist work be done by the people doing the job? Shouldn't, like, we in safety strive to have safety done by the managers and own, you know, risk owners are the people that actually own the risk. But yeah, it's not in your MBEs. It's not in your management qualifications. It's not in, like, it should be. 100% it should be. And we as safety professionals should then just be actually kind of expert facilitators of those processes, those conversations. So really, actually, when I look at all these technical skills and I think, really, what are they? To me, they just look like copy and pastes. They're just like copy from the ACOP and paste it over here. It just doesn't make sense to me. And I still keep coming back to that same point. Do we really need those technical skills? What even are those technical skills? Now, look, I am 100% happy to be proven wrong. I'm just here playing devil's advocate because I don't know the answer. I'm not sitting here to preach to say, yes, we should all be, you know, completely kind of soft. We should all be psychologists and sociologists and that's what we should focus on. I'm just throwing ideas out there and so I'm just throwing and see what shit sticks. Do you know what I mean? I'm just throwing it all out there, see what happens, because I'm really not sure. I think we are going through a bit of an identity revolution. I've called it an identity crisis previously, but I think it's a good thing we're going through right now. So for me, it's kind of like an identity revolution, kind of like a midlife crisis, but in a good way. So when I come back to Rosa's original point in that she was of the opinion that she couldn't work in an industry she hadn't worked in because she didn't have any credibility, I'm not sure I agree there. I'm still not sure I agree. I think that if safety is what I think it is, which is those kind of expert soft skill people, like, I think that's what we actually are, those people that really expertly kind of facilitate success and facilitate problem solving and facilitate capacity to fail safely and facilitate resilience and facilitate organizational learning and things like that. Like, we're the people that kind of just facilitate these processes, and we do that through soft skills, in my opinion. Anyone can pick up an ISO 45001 document tomorrow and whack it into the business. Anyone could do that. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, I might have offended you in that point because you're the person that does it, but I'm not being funny. Anyone can do it. Anyone. Because you read it and you go, how do we do that? You get people in the room, you go, right, this is what we need to do. How do we do it? Now, you might need to employ specialists, 100%. And then what does that specialist look like? You might need to employ a, I don't know, machine safety specialist or a systems safety specialist. But again, I come back to my video. I said that in the compliance section of those kind of specialisms, a compliance expert, someone that understands systems and implementing systems, people that understand legislation and law. And therefore, they are the safety compliance expert. Excuse me, just get a swig of drink. So do you lose credibility if you don't know an industry? Well, I don't think you do. I think if you come back to those soft skills points, you do not lose credibility. And actually, I think it's a benefit. So actually, not only do I not agree, I think it's complete opposite. I think that throwing somebody who has no idea about the industry into this situation with the soft skills that they should need to do that successfully, make sure they're good listeners, they're good empathizers, they're good and empathetic, for example. You know, they have those skills where they're able to just kind of coach out of the person what they need to know and then go, oh, okay, so that's your problem. How do we work out about fixing that? I don't think industry matters. I think it doesn't make any difference whatsoever. I'd be interested to see what you guys think. Please, lads and ladies, boys and girls, drop me a message and I'll be interested to see what you think on those two points. Is this a technical profession? And do you lose credibility if you are not experienced in that industry? Because if that's true, I mean, I'm screwed because I have not worked in the same industry for more than 3 years. Because I get bored. And I think, well, okay, I've learned what I can from manufacturing. Off I go to somewhere else. I've learned what I can from healthcare. Off I go to somewhere else. And I just keep applying different ideas and seeing what happens. And I think they've gone all right. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've had some shitty jobs in the middle, but yeah. I'm still on the fence with that. Well, maybe I'm not on the fence, actually, am I? Sounds like I'm way on the left. But yeah, let me know. Drop me a DM. Let me know what your thoughts are. I'll be interested to see what you all think. I think there's going to be a big divide here. I think that you'll be on one side or the other. I'm not sure whether there'll be anybody kind of sitting on the fence in this. So we'll wait and see. Let me have a look at someone else. Really interesting. It says, really interesting thing that Rosa said that I'm not sure if any of you picked up on, but when we were talking about that point, and she was kind of made a point, why would I give myself something else to have to deal with when I've already got points against me in being a woman and a woman of colour? And that was just really upsetting for me to hear, really, that that's still an issue. Such a shame that that's still something she experiences now in 2021. And that's the way she looks at it, that it points against her. You know, what makes her being a woman and being a woman of colour is viewed as points against her. I thought it was a real, real shame. But I can kind of see it, really, if I'm honest. And I think it happens not more so. I think it happens the same for age as well. You know, I've always been the youngest in the career. So I'm not really a minority from a point of view as how we would probably, you know, from ethnicity, you know, or gender. I'm white and I'm a male. So I'm always in the majority on those two categories. But definitely in the minority when it comes to age in our profession. I think throughout my entire career, I'm nearly always the youngest in the room up until the last couple of years or so, where I'm starting to get a bit older and we're starting to see, you know, the new advisors coming in, and it's nice to see some youth coming in, which is really good. But for many years, you know, I've only started seeing that about 1 or 2 years ago, and I'm 10 years into my career. So, you know, do the maths. If for a long time I've been the kind of youngest in the career, and I think that there is a discrimination against youth as well. I think there is an assumption that experience does come of age, yes, but I think that there's an assumption that you're stupid if you're young, or you don't have the answers if you're young, which again, this comes back to my point around the credibility thing. And actually, I think there's a benefit to having people that don't know. I think there's a benefit to having people who are young, who have no idea, because they'll come in and they'll go, why are you doing it like that? You could just do it like this, you know? And then you go, shit, we've been doing this like this for 10 years. And that's where I think that if we always just work in the same industry all the time, and we're not employing diverse people from a experience diversity point of view, from an ethnicity, from gender, from absolutely everything, then we're just going to get the same shit different day. And I don't think we can innovate like that. So it was kind of a shame to hear Rosa talk about her gender and her colour from that point of view, but I can see it. You know, I can kind of see it. We've still got a long way to go. And I do think that our profession still, I don't think it's racist. Like, please don't take me the wrong way. Like, I'm not saying we're a profession full of racism, but like, I still think that we are not doing enough. I think in my term so far at Irish Future Leaders, you know, I tried really hard to kind of raise the awareness of this and make some change. And in my opinion, I don't think we've succeeded. I think we could have done more. Unfortunately, we weren't able to. But I think there's a hell of a lot more that needs to be done. And I think that we need to be attracting young people to this profession because they are much more diverse than us. Like, if you go to universities and start attracting people that are uni now, you know, just look at, like, I look at some of the friends of like my family that are younger than me, and they're so diverse, and I just can't wait to see the innovation that comes out of those generations. It's going to be amazing. Okay, so yeah, that was one interesting point I picked up on. Let's have a look at my other notes. Okay, so I'm going to finish this off then on a couple of things. A bit of a call to action. So I was on I was kindly invited by Teresa Swinton to go on a panel this week for the HSE Global Series UK Congress. And we were talking about language. And Ben Legg, the head of, I think he's director or head of safety for Ferrero. I think they're the people that make Ferreros. I don't know how to pronounce it, but you know what I'm on about. Anyway, international company, food manufacturer. Yeah, you know, this guy knows what he's doing. And we were having such a good chat on this panel. Honestly, such a good chat. One of the best panels I've ever had the privilege of being on, but just such a great chat. And Ben had a little call to action at the end, is to say, well, how many of you sit on these things all the time and listen and listen and listen, but how many of you actually take stuff away and actually do something with it? So this is a little bit of a call to action. Rosa gave you things that you can do at the end of that podcast. She said, just start going and saying hello to people. Start building relationships. I've talked about this for 2 years now on this podcast. Start building relationships. When you go to work on Tuesday, when's this coming out? No, wait. It's bank holiday Monday when I'm there. Bank holiday weekend, Saturday when I'm recording this. And it's not going to come out for like another week. So this is Monday when you're listening to this. So anyway, next when you go to work, my point is, the day is irrelevant. Next when you go to work, start building those relationships and pick it. Maybe you've got relationships and that's great at work, and you know, everybody does, but like, pick the people that you don't have, go to the department that you don't go very often. Just say, hey everyone, how are you doing? Sit down, spend some time with them, have a cup of tea, say, how's work today? How is the family? Find out about their family. What did they do at the weekend? Did anybody watch Line of Duty? Oh my God. That's one thing I care about, and that's catching burnt coppers. You know what I mean? That's a terrible accent, but you know what I mean? Just go in there and just have a chat with popular culture and build relationships. Like, stop sitting and listening and just going, oh yeah, that's great. Reading books and going, oh yeah, that would be good. And then doing fuck all with it. You need to do it. Go to work on tomorrow. So many people say, oh, how do you remember everything that you read in books? One way. It's not annotating, it's not highlighting, it's not taking notes in a separate book, it's just fucking doing it. Read a book, find something you like, pick it up, and go and do it. Listen to a podcast, hear something you like, go and do it. Try it. See how it goes. And Rosie gave you some simple things that you can take away and start tomorrow. So, every time you're on a webinar, every time you're reading a book, every time you're listening to a podcast, ask yourself, what am I going to do with this information? You don't have to do something with everything, because sometimes you listen to some stuff and it's dross. Sometimes you read something and it's crap and you don't need it. Or maybe you know it's not going to work right now, but you keep it in the bank and you say, I'll remember that when I come back to it at another point when I'm ready for it. But right now I'm not ready for it. That's fine. But there will be times that there's something you can do with that information. So go and bloody do it. Don't get me wrong, this stuff is really, really hard. These soft skills are challenging to build and they're slow. Relationships take years to build. But trust me, when you start to see the difference, it is phenomenal. I mean, I've told this story so many times, but when I was in manufacturing, it's one of the most challenging jobs I had. It was my first safety job. And I went in with that old school traditional police officer kind of safety. I feel like we're really harsh to police officers. I feel like making an assumption about, you know what I mean? Safety officer kind of attitude. And was just getting nowhere. But then when I started just being one of the lads with these guys, I'm going on golf days with them and having banter and having beers with them and chilling out and just building relationships, we started to get somewhere. And I was really lucky. That was my first ever safety job. And I realized that early on. And I'm like, shit, okay, this actually works. I did the same when I was traveling around the country for a certain large chain of hospitals in the UK and just going around and building relationships with the people that I needed to. Going in, how are you? How's the family? What do you do in your spare time? How is work? What are the challenges this week? Tell me about work. What does work look like for you? Understand what they're going through. It takes time, but trust me, it's worth it. Okay, peeps, that will do. I hope you've enjoyed that episode. Thank you very much for listening. And don't forget to go to www.rebrandedsafety.com. If you want to do some work with us, we can do branded videos. If you're self-employed or you're someone working in marketing, for some reason you're randomly listening to a safety program and you sell a product or something, or you think you love a product and you'd love to see what we can do with it, then pass this on to the person that manages the marketing of that product. We could do a little brand video for them. If you want us to, maybe you're doing an event, we can do some extra, you know, something a little bit different for your keynote, something a little bit different for maybe a little workshop or a little open discussion room or whatever you want to do. We are up for it. Maybe you're doing that in your workplace. Let us know. Go to www.reboundsafety.com. Everything's on there. We're also looking for a couple more sponsors for the podcast. We've got one coming up for YouTube and the podcast, but we'd like a couple more for the podcast so that we make sure that, you know, all this time I'm spending away from my daughter, we could actually make some money and feed us. That would be nice. So yeah, a couple of things you can do, go over there. And if you want to buy some merch, it's all on that website as well. So you can go over there, get yourself some jumpers, some t-shirts and so on. So go and check that out as well. If you're looking to kick your development up the wazoo and shove it into sixth gear, then go to www.projectmilitium.com. Militium is spelled MOLLITIAM. .com. Project Militium is a community. It's a mastermind community facilitated by myself and Colin Nottage. We run several calls, such as our weekly community calls, where we can help you with your wins, your goals, and some challenges, a monthly book club, and a quarterly massive mastermind session, which first one's coming up in a week's time, and I'm mega buzzing about it. So that's going to be great. I can get you on a call for free, so you can come and try it first. There's loads of other little mini benefits as well, like your own little member area. Online courses are coming this year as well. And you've got a resource library where we just dump absolutely everything that we think can help people. And the community can contribute to that as well. So the whole aim here is to bring cognitive diversity, bring a community of safety professionals together and help each other be better. So if you are looking to kind of take the next step in your career, or maybe you're brand new in your career, or maybe you're looking to give back and help people with your experiences, help people learn from your experiences, then 100% this is for you. So go to www.projectmilitium.com. Remember, Militium is spelled MOLLITIAM. Okay, people, answer those questions by DMing me. If you're not sure about anything at Rebranding Safety or Project Militium, DM me as well. Otherwise, I shall catch you on the flip flop. Safe. Oh.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the host and its guests and do not necessarily reflect the position of the companies. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are examples only based on limited and dated open source information and should not be utilised in real life as the only solution available. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the companies. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic or otherwise, without prior written permission from James McPherson. Thank you.